The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a good Tuesday morning. It is voting day in America, and I encourage you to figure out what the issues are in your area and go to a good conservative site and find out what the issues are and which way you should vote. You know, we had here in Texas a bunch of things we had to vote on, and good night. They were worded in such a way to make them confusing, I think. And so I wouldn't have made it had I not done my homework. You just don't want to go in there blindly and say, oh, well, I guess I'll just do this. So, wanted to read to you a familiar passage. We go back to this time and time again on American Family Radio and on Real Truth for Today. It's 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, and it says this, "Of the sons of Issachar, they were men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do." That's what we hope to do on American Family Radio, at American Family Association, help people understand the times, to see the world from a biblical perspective so that we can know what to do as followers of Jesus Christ. What would the Lord have us do? Now, one of the guests I like to have on the program is my friend Rod Martin, founder and CEO of Martin Capital. Rod is a technology entrepreneur and a geopolitical analyst. He's a lawyer, we would say Harvard trained, but you didn't go to Harvard. You're a Baylor trained lawyer, isn't that right, Rod?
That's true.
A Baylor trained, it's kind of like a Harvard trained lawyer. That's what they say about Bishop E.W. Jackson. I still have that playing in my head, his intro to his program. But Rod, thanks for coming on today.
It's good to be here.
Okay, Rod, last time you were here, you had a hat on. You said it was a bad hair day, so you got a better hair day today.
Put on the hat anytime you want.
Yeah, I think I need to start wearing a hat, Rod. I'm having bad hair days these days. Okay, so Dave, you might have heard at the top of the hour, we're into day 35 of the shutdown. It's what everybody is talking about. The Democrats are trying to say it's Trump's shutdown. That doesn't seem to be gaining a whole lot of traction with anybody that's fair and honest in their interpretation of things. And they're calling it the Schumer shutdown, obviously, because it's stalling in the Senate. Nora O'Donnell was interviewing Trump, I think, on Sunday, or it played on Sunday on 60 Minutes. And she asked the question, how is this going to end? It seems like both parties have dug in their heels. How do you see this coming to an end?
Well, at the moment, one would think the Democrats mean to completely dismantle the welfare state, because that's the effect of what they're doing. They've bought a little bit of time with these court rulings saying that the administration has to provide SNAP benefits, food stamps. That's okay. I mean, Trump administration is happy to do that. They want the government open. But that money runs out. That's coming out of emergency funds. The emergency funds will be gone for December. And the Democrats aren't doing a thing. And is it a Schumer shutdown? It absolutely is. And here's why. What the Republicans proposed was what's called a clean CR, or a clean continuing resolution. What that does is that lets the government keep running without taking any money away, without adding any money to, just as everybody had already agreed to it, for a little bit longer past the time that the current authorization runs out. And what that does is that buys everybody time to have a legitimate debate in committee and figure out how we're going to change things. Are we going to add? Are we going to subtract? What are we going to do? Okay, neither party has ever voted against a clean continuing resolution. Never. Has never happened. Now the Democrats have done it, I think, 15 times. Mm-hmm. It's just mind-boggling. No one has ever pulled this stunt, and it gets worse because, wait, this was all settled when Trump signed the One Big Beautiful Bill Act on July 4th. All of this went through Congress. All of this spending has had a vote. The Democrats are trying to hold your welfare benefits hostage to be able to get funding reinstated that's already been voted on. It is genuinely a hostage situation, and the hostages are food stamp recipients. And what are they doing it for? Well, they're doing it to get $1 trillion in Medicaid funding for illegal aliens. And they're also doing it to try to get $500 billion in funding to subsidize what they once called the Affordable Care Act, which is clearly not affordable. When Obamacare passed, we went in my household from about a $679 premium to a $2,600 premium overnight. There's nothing affordable about the so-called Affordable Care Act, which the Democrats are admitting here. And when they were in power, they had the opportunity to extend these Obamacare subsidies, and they chose not to. So all of this is a farce. It's all at Schumer's feet, and it is not going to end well for them.
All right, Rod, we have the idea, and Trump has floated this out, about the nuclear option where you blow up the filibuster. I ran across a clip yesterday from Mike Johnson. I want to play this and get you to respond to it. His comment to President Trump regarding blowing up the filibuster.
Do you agree with President Trump that now is the time to get rid of the Senate filibuster? He's saying it's gone on too long. What is the nuclear option?
So I talked to the president multiple times over the weekend, I mentioned, and of course the filibuster came up. This is a Senate matter. It has nothing to do with the House. Everybody wants to know what my opinion is. My opinion is irrelevant. I understand desperate times call for desperate measures. I also understand that traditionally we've seen that as an important safeguard. I mean, I obviously shared my thoughts with the president on that. As much as I have wanted to blow up the filibuster sometime as a House member when we were not getting what we wanted done in our agenda, I hear my Senate Republican colleagues, some of the most conservative people in Congress, who say it's an important safeguard. It prevents us. It holds us back from the Democrats' worst impulses. What would the Democrats do if they had no filibuster impediment, no speed bump at all? They've already told us. They would pack the Supreme Court. You'd go from 9 to 13 or 15 or 17 or however many liberals they can pack on the court. You would have D.C. and Puerto Rico be made into states, which would give four additional Democrat senators there in the count and make us a permanent minority. I guess that would be their calculation. You would see massive restriction of the Second Amendment rights. You'd see them federalize elections so they could take over and manipulate things in the red states. I mean, there's a lot of abuses that could come. And so that's the caveat. That's what they're working through. And I speak frankly and honestly with the president, and he's very passionate about this. We're all very passionate. I think what you see in this debate we're having on our own side is a reflection of the anger that we feel, the real desperation that we feel, because we want the government to be reopened. We want to serve the American people as best we can, and any hindrance to that is something that everybody's looking at very carefully. Again, not a House issue. It's a Senate issue, and we'll...
All right, Rod. I think to maybe the average person, they're like, yeah, blow up the filibuster. But now, do you agree with what Mike Johnson is saying? If they do that, here are the downsides of that?
Yes and no. I mean, he's absolutely right in what he's saying. Does the president have a point? Well, yes, but he's also negotiating. So what is the president's point? The president's point is simply that the next time the Democrats get power, they're gonna do this. And that's not some crazy prognosticating. That's how we ended up with the elimination of the filibuster for federal appeals court judges. The Democrats under Harry Reid thought that that would be a good idea because they could break the logjam and all of a sudden, you know, whatever Obama wants, Obama gets. that turned into the elimination of the filibuster for Supreme Court justices, which of course the Democrats screamed about like crazy, but they would absolutely use it. If you were able to do things like change the number of Supreme Court justices so that an individual president could appoint a long-term majority, things like that are deeply, deeply destructive and not something that we want to see happen. So the president is recognizing that the Democrats are likely to do this at the same time, and therefore we should get ahead of it. At the same time, I think the president is mostly negotiating here. He knows that Chuck Schumer has to assume that Republican senators are going to end up voting a party line, and therefore he better come to the table and actually negotiate a resolution to this shutdown.
Well, I like what you said. You know, this was all negotiated when they passed the big, beautiful bill. You know, you go back to Obama's quote, hey, elections have consequences. You guys lost. And so now you can't put a gun to the president's head and say, well, we're going to, you know, we'll blow ourselves up if you don't kowtow to our wishes and add. I mean, it's ridiculous, Rod. I mean, we're what, $37, $38 trillion in debt, and what's another $1.5 trillion between friends? I mean, it's just crazy. We don't have the money anyway to do all the things that they are asking us to do.
Yeah, not many people can actually imagine what $1 trillion is. And they're spending more than $1 trillion, actually almost $2 trillion of borrowed money every year. That's not tax revenue. That's not coming from tariffs. That's not coming from any legitimate source. That's borrowed money. And they're doing it year after year after year after year after year after year. And Trump is trying to get at that problem and actually get to a balanced budget by stimulating economic growth, by adding this layer of tariffs, by, you know, all the different things they're doing to cut waste and fraud. And the Democrats' answer to that is, heck no, let's add another $1.5 trillion of borrowed money every year and give the lion's share of it to illegal aliens. I mean, we're holding American citizens hostage, American SNAP recipients hostage, to give free health care, which I certainly don't have, to illegal aliens. Right. It's just crazy. And this is the Democrat position. We know it's the Democrat position. They can lie about it all they want, but during the last campaign, every single Democrat presidential candidate stood up on the debate stage and promised that they would give Medicaid to illegal aliens. Yes. So we know exactly where they stand, and that's exactly what they're doing.
Okay, Rod, when we talk about, we can only go into debt for so long, so deep, so long. Eventually, the bills come due, and you can't pay the interest on the loans. Explain to our listeners, how does that really work? Because the average person in America is like, yeah, okay, well, we got a lot of money on the credit card, but it doesn't really change anything. Where do you hit the point where it does change things, and then life changes for everybody?
Well, it changed in the Obama years, and I'll explain why. But first, for reference, so people understand how much we're spending. We're spending about $1 trillion on defense every year. We're spending more than that just to pay interest on the national debt. To defend the country, to defend the entire free world, costs less than just the interest we're paying on the debt, and they want to run up more debt. And they want to do it at relatively high interest rates. So that's a catastrophe. That's just waiting for the whole thing to melt down. Now, why did it start under Obama? Very simple. From World War II to the election of Barack Obama, we averaged 3.4% GDP growth every year. That includes a lot of recessions and a lot of hard times, but we averaged 3.4% GDP growth every year. Now, if you're getting a raise every year at home and you're running up your credit card, but you're running up less on your credit card than you're getting in raises, that's sustainable. Obama destroyed the American economy. We went from 3.4% average growth down to as low as 1.6%. Well, what's the difference? In the first scenario, you double the economy every 24 years. In the second scenario, you double it every 54 years, which means there are fewer opportunities for young people, fewer opportunities to own a home, fewer jobs, fewer everything. And that's the problem. They're running up more debt than ever while cutting our raises we were getting. And so the government can no longer sustain this.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we're talking to Rod Martin. Rod is the founder and CEO of Martin Capital. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back with more. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Hey, let me just encourage you to get involved with Operation Christmas Child. We're having a drive going on now through November 24th. And so you can pack a shoebox and have that sent out to a kid somewhere around the world through Samaritan's Purse and their ministry, Operation Christmas Child, and really make a difference as you bless that child and bless the family and tell them about Jesus. Just go to samaritanspurse.org/OCC to learn more and to find a drop-off location near you. Now, we're talking to my friend Rod Martin. Rod Martin is the founder and CEO of Martin Capital, a technology entrepreneur. That's a cool name, Rod. A lot of people may not know what that is, but it just sounds cool. It sounds kind of, you're like with Elon Musk, you know, you're in that realm, and a geopolitical analyst, and you keep tabs on what's going on, not only with our government and our politics, but around the world. So let me ask you the news you may have heard at the top of the hour. Dick Cheney passed away. So from your perspective, how would you evaluate his legacy?
It's a very mixed bag. You know, he was really good in the Ford administration, in the first Bush administration. He was an incredibly effective vice president in the second Bush administration. We've really never had a vice president who was as effective, who was honestly as powerful as Dick Cheney. And he absolutely put his mark on that administration. Even after Don Rumsfeld was dismissed as Secretary of Defense, you know, Cheney is there making things happen. We can thank Cheney for the surge in 2007 that saved our position in Iraq and saved the Iraqi government. You know, there are a lot of good things you can say. He was certainly stalwart after 9/11 and grateful for all of that. On the other hand, he raised a couple of disastrous children, one of whom, Liz Cheney, is just a nightmare and recently was defeated in her own congressional primary in Wyoming by, I think, 38 points, you know, some horrible blowout number, because she was effectively a Democrat, basically controlled opposition. This is a woman who did everything she could to destroy the Trump administration on false pretenses, destroyed evidence, did some terrible things. She's probably getting indicted. Is that Dick Cheney's fault? No, but yeah, kind of. And also, Dick Cheney, and I can't stress this enough, was possibly the foremost champion of the neoconservative view of foreign policy, which, in a nutshell, possibly pejorative, but I think it's fair, is not merely that we should aspire to the whole world being democratic, but if they won't be democratic, we're going to go kill enough of them to force them to be. And that's basically what we did for 20 years in Afghanistan and Iraq. So if you think that was a good idea, then Dick Cheney is a hero. No question about it. If you think that that wasn't such a good idea, then he is the focus of all intense opprobrium that could be heaped upon that. And so that, I'm sure that's how the coverage will go today. You know, very much a mixed bag.
Yeah. Okay, getting into the outside of America and into the Middle East, you know, everybody was, even critics were patting Trump on the back, Bill Maher patting Trump on the back with the peace accord that he was able to negotiate between Hamas and Israel. Israel did get back their hostages, and so it was good. But that's a Band-Aid on a bullet hole. I mean, that situation, as long as, in my opinion, Rod, I want you to chime in, but you can't negotiate with Hamas. They're a cancer. They exist to kill you. How can you have any kind of lasting peace with that group? You have to eradicate Hamas and start over to ever have peace there between the Gazans and the Israelis. So what do you say to that?
Yeah, that's all right. And of course, the president's peace plan accounts for that. What we're doing is we're trying to give them a way to stand down, disarm, and leave with their lives. And there's no question that there will probably be some money changing hands and, you know, all the things you got to do to get dictators to leave. We got baby Doc Duvalier to leave Haiti, and he went and lived in a villa on the French Riviera for the rest of his life. And, you know, we've done this sort of thing with a lot of dictators, and you say, well, that's not fair. That guy should hang. Well, how did hanging Saddam Hussein work out? You know,
right.
At the end of the day, sometimes you just need to pay them to go away. So no, Hamas, there's no future for Hamas in Gaza. And Trump has made clear, if Hamas breaks the deal they made, then he's turning Netanyahu loose to eradicate them like so many termites. And mm-hmm. that needs to happen. And the thing is, it's not just Trump and Netanyahu who think that. It's every Arab government. Nobody supports Hamas except possibly Qatar. And Qatar has learned its lesson. So all these guys realize, even if they're in sympathy with some of the things Hamas believes, Hamas is causing a nightmare for all of them. And you can't have mass Palestinian immigration into any country because they always just immediately try to overthrow it. They tried to overthrow King Hussein in Jordan in 1970. He managed to win that civil war, and he kicked them out, and they went to Lebanon, and they immediately kicked off a civil war there that's still, in some senses, ongoing all these decades later. You just can't have them there. So until you denazify Gaza, as we would have said about Germany in the 40s, until you get that done, Gaza can't be peaceful. On the other hand, if you have a government that isn't composed of Hamas, I mean, as much disdain as I have for the Palestine Authority, they sat out this war. They clearly understand that they have a future if they will be peaceful. It only took us my whole lifetime to get to that point, but we seem to be at that point. And the Saudis want to help them have some kind of two-state solution. Honestly, that works best in Gaza. Gaza could be like Singapore or like Lebanon used to be or like the French Riviera. It really could. It could be rich. It could be prosperous. It could share in those natural gas discoveries off the coast. It could be a decent place as long as it's peaceful and it isn't attacking its neighbors. And so that's the hope. And I think Trump has most of the key Arab governments roped into this. They're willing to actually help make that happen in Gaza. And that's going to be key, because if you don't have Arab troops in there, every single thing that goes wrong is going to get blamed on Israel and Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so big vote today in New York City. And I played a clip from Bill Maher's program where he had George Will on, and George Will says he wants Mamdani to win because he says that's a good opportunity for Americans to see this never works. Socialism, democratic socialism, whatever you call it, it's communism. It never works. It's going to bring destruction to New York City, the largest city in America. And so hopefully that will wake people up to the fact, don't vote for these people. I don't know if people are smart enough to get the message. Venezuela should have been a wake-up call for everybody in America, just is not too far away, but they still don't seem to get it. So two questions, Rod. How do you see that election turning out, and what is going to be the fallout if Mamdani wins?
Well, the problem is bigger in Venezuela. The problem is that they did have an election, and the opposition party probably won close to two-thirds of the vote. And it didn't matter, because once you let socialists take power, they cheat. And everybody in the world knows the Venezuelan election was a cheat. I mean, even its friends admit that, you know, wait, this was corrupt. This is not okay. And that's your problem. When these kinds of people take power, they believe in power. That is their religion. They want government to act as God. And you see that in Mamdani's entire platform. You know, it's just take over everything. Even grocery stores are going to be government owned, so that government gets to dispense blessings and curses as though it were God. That's going to go really badly, because unlike Venezuela, and we do get a lot of immigration from Venezuela, no question, but not like we would if everybody could come. In New York, it's just an easy drive across the bridge. It really is. So so the biggest thing that's going to happen is the Texas Stock Exchange that launches next year in Dallas is going to get a shocking number of listings that were previously on or only on the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ. They're probably going to wait to see. They'll be dual aligned, kind of like, you know, we have the BGCT and the SBTC in Texas. You know, they're probably going to be dual aligned for a while. But if New York goes south, which it will, you know, they're going to just be listed on the Texas Stock Exchange. And we're going to get more hedge fund managers and their companies in Miami. And so Mamdani is just going to enrich Texas and Florida more than anything else. And we're going to have a cautionary tale. So George Will goes too far in saying, I hope he wins. I don't hope he wins, you know, but he's gonna. So, you know, the issue is what happens next. And what happens next is we're going to watch a live action play of the third part of Atlas Shrugged.
I mean, it's going to be devastating for those people. Jenna Ellis just sent me this morning. She said she talked about it on her program. In the poll stats show, if you're a foreign-born voter in New York City, you're 62% Mamdani, 24% Cuomo. If you're a U.S.-born voter, you're 40% Cuomo, 31% Mamdani. You have people that don't have American values that are voting in this election, and they don't care about our country. I heard a black pastor, Rod, he was saying that he was talking about the Pledge of Allegiance. And he said, one thing that's really important for the Pledge of Allegiance is that you're pledging your support for America, not, you know, where you came from. And it seems like we've lost that. We're no longer the melting pot in America. And I guess the question would be, how long can America sustain itself when you have this much fracturing of it?
Well, the Democrats have spent nearly my entire lifetime demonizing the idea of a melting pot, demonizing the idea of American culture more recently, but certainly, you know, in the context of multiculturalism, which I don't know if anybody will even remember that term. That was the watchword in the 90s and the 2000s. Multiculturalism implicitly was everybody's culture is great except ours. You know, and then we just took the mask off and said, you know, if you are white, which we're going to define as Ben Carson and Winsome Sears because they believe the wrong things.
Right.
You know, so, you know, Joe Biden literally said, if you're not for me, you ain't black.
Right.
Well, he meant it, because they've redefined all these words. They aren't even racial. They're ideological. So, you know, if you aren't in one of their protected victim groups, then you are an oppressor from which you can't repent, and you can never be saved. You can never be redeemed. And so, you know, we've gotten to the point where we're delegitimizing the idea of America, which is a lot of what we're seeing in Israel. Most of these people couldn't find Israel on a map. What they care about with Israel is, you know, a lot of the Jews, like most of the Jews, came to Israel in the last century and a half. And if they can demonize that, Now, never mind that most of the Arabs that are there also came there in the last century and a half. But, you know, we'll just set that aside. If they can say that migration is evil, then they can say that America is evil. And that's what all these land acknowledgments are about. That's why they have Indigenous Peoples Day. It's not to pay tribute to the Apache. It is to demonize you as an evil occupier, colonizer. And if we're going to do that, there's not a nation on earth that could continue, because that's just history. And of course, none of the native tribes here in America would be able to go back to their land, if you can call it that, because they all conquered it from someone else too. But it's not about that. It's about the revolution. It's about overthrowing the American system and setting up a socialist system, which they're about to prototype in New York City, and it's going to go really badly.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And the poor people are the ones that are going to suffer for that. And that, you know, we're always trying to get at the rich. Well, the rich just move. They have the ability to do that. They get out, they protect themselves, and it's the poor people that are left holding the bag. Well, Rod, what do you see in the last minute and a half that we have before we go to break? What do you see as the future for America? I mean, do you see that the light is going out for us?
No, I'm actually really optimistic. We won in 2025. We won both houses in 2025. We do presently have a majority on the Supreme Court, which turned out to be shockingly more important than anyone, I think, quite realized. And that's likely to continue to be true for a while. There's a discussion in one of the journals I read this morning about, you know, should Alito and Thomas step down so Trump can name their successor? Well, that's a legitimate debate to have. The other conservative justices are pretty young. But what we can't do is pack the court. Expand the number so that one president can, you know, through a completely wicked process, just pack it with his own ideology. That's what the Democrats want to do. So if we let them have power, they're going to turn America into a one-party state in a way that we've never seen before in American life. And if we can keep winning elections, I think we expose that, out it, end it, and we win.
We're talking to Rod Martin. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Give us a call after the break, 888-589-8840. Love to talk to you.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking to my friend Rod Martin. We're talking about the issues going on in America, and then also the issue in the Middle East and what is going on there between Israel and Hamas. We always like to open up the phone lines in this segment for you, the listener, to call in 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question for Rod, a comment, we would love to hear from you, maybe a brief testimony. Just give us a call and let's talk. Okay, Rod, so we were talking off air about the dumbing down of the younger generation. And, you know, you've seen these guys that go out on the street and just ask basic questions, basic math questions, basic geography questions. And the kids that they ask, I say kids, they're probably 15 to 30, they're clueless. I mean, they can't answer any question. They don't know how to give you change from a $5 bill. And you think, good night. These are the people that are, this is the next generation. These are the people that are going to be voting for things. These are the people that are voting in New York today for their mayor. And so when you see that kind of stuff, you start to kind of say, do we have a future?
Well, what we have is a public school system that, of course, is uneven. And your particular public school may be great, but yes, probably not. That's probably an illusion in your own mind, because people always want to think that their school is unchanged from when they were there. Well, I hate to tell them, but when they were there, they were stupid little kids, and they didn't know how to judge it then either. But, you know, to the degree it was a reasonably good education when they were there, things change. Nothing that was true 30 years ago is still true, except the gospel. I mean, that's just obvious. I mean, nobody had an iPhone 30 years ago. Nobody had the interwebs 30 years ago. It's just silly. So schools have changed too. They have changed in the direction of what the Islamists do in madrasas. If your child goes to a madrasa, he's going to learn Islamic ideology. He's not going to learn physics and chemistry. And it's just that simple. So we have these socialist public schools that will teach you all about how certain people are privileged and other people are oppressed, and we need to tear down the hierarchy and destroy the system, and the Constitution is racist and blah, blah, blah. But they don't read the Constitution. Right. You know, or they talk about the three-fifths clause and explain it 180 degrees from what it really did. You know, they do everything in their power to demonize and get you on the side of the Democratic Party. So some of those kids grow up to be Republicans, sure. But a lot of those kids don't know how to separate out the fact from the fiction. So, you know, we're getting this huge rise of anti-Semitism on the right. Well, I thought that was just a leftist thing. Well, right. I guess again, because our kids were educated by leftists. And Christians are gonna have to actually get serious about the parental responsibility for education of their children. It's your responsibility to make sure they get a good education. It's your responsibility to be clear-minded about your school. Maybe it is great, but don't assume it's great just because you're used to cheering for its football team. Right. That's stupid, and that costs the future. And if you need to send your kid to a Christian school, budget the money. If you need to homeschool, budget the money. Mm-hmm. In Arkansas, Texas, and Florida now, the state will actually pay for that. We have basically unlimited school choice in those states and several more now. Take advantage of it. Make sure that your kids don't end up on the opposite side from everything you care about.
Yeah, good point. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Mark on the line from Ohio. Mark, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
So I was just saying that, I was just saying that I feel like it's a hostile takeover from inside. Quite similar to like Red Dawn, maybe.
All right. I think he's saying with Islam, Rod, that it's a hostile takeover on the inside. You know, we've heard a lot where people say, you know, Islam acts like the poor me, you know, you're Islamophobic and all this stuff, and I just want a seat at the table, and then you give them a seat at the table, and they take over the table, and they set up Sharia law, and then you don't have any more say in anything. So that, I guess that was his point. That's what we're facing today in America.
Well, we're certainly facing it across Europe, and we're seeing it in some portions of America. I think we're about to see something like that in New York. We've certainly seen it in Dearborn, Michigan, and in Minneapolis, and in other places where you have achieved either a Muslim majority or plurality. And look, I don't blame them. You know, it's a free country. They can vote for what they want. The question is, why did we let them come? Because they're mostly all immigrants. And we ought to vet for people to come here who actually believe in the American system. And if you don't believe in the American system, you shouldn't be allowed to come. That's a pretty basic thing. And there are about, you know, there are hundreds of millions of people who would like to come here who believe in America and believe in our system. But the Democrats are deliberately trying to bring in people who hate our system. That's what you see in those polling numbers you were talking about with Mamdani in New York, the difference between native-born and foreign-born. That's because they've deliberately imported a subculture that hates America. So, you know, there's no getting around that, and we have to get serious about it.
Yeah, very good. We have Joel on the line from Kansas. Joel, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say great job. I'm traveling with my daughter, my grandchildren, so I'm not listening to my normal radio stations, but it was a blessing. They were there for me. And I just want to say the common denominator between all that insanity, and I represent the Roman Catholic Church, the percentage of Roman Catholics who are actually Catholic, biblical, and you know, I listen to what you guys are saying, and you're spot on. And it seems like the common denominator, the garden from which all the insanity and impropriety has grown, is the government. Whether it's letting illegals in for 20 years straight, busting at the seams. What do you think's going to happen with Mondani in New York? You know, and then I got two brothers that are teachers in Des Moines, Iowa. Look, and you guys talked about the schools and dumbing down. I mean, the epitome is the superintendent of Des Moines. You got a schoolhouse on the back of the state quarter. Everybody used to take the Iowa basic skills test. The superintendent, this black guy, was a fraud. He falsified his resume. Everybody worshipped him around Des Moines. Oh, you can be cool and have corn brains and be highly educated. He was a gun-toting, four guns busted, illegal fraudster. And the school district is suing the consultant company that hired him. You guys talked about vetting illegals. What about vetting school superintendents in the state that's known for education? So yeah. You guys are doing a great job, great topics. Keep up the great work, guys.
Hey, thank you, Joel. I appreciate that. Were you familiar with that, what he was saying in Des Moines, Rod?
Oh, yeah. The superintendent was actually an illegal alien. Everything on his resume was a fraud, and they hired him. They obviously weren't interested in vetting him carefully. And of course, you know that we had a similar problem at the Southern Baptist Convention, not with an illegal alien, but with someone who was the interim president of the EC, who had completely made up his entire military service, educational background, absolutely everything was a lie. And nobody vetted him because he fit within a particular group. And they didn't want to ask tough questions, as they would of me, for sure. Right. And so, you know, this is just nonsense. This always ends badly. It has to be based on merit. Whatever you do has to be based on merit. We hear people say that, you know, DEI hires, that's a dog whistle for racism. No, it isn't. But if you set up a system where you hire people based on their most superficial characteristics instead of on their merit, you're going to make people think that meritorious people who fall within that group probably don't have any merit. And it's just, it's a bad system for them. It's a bad system for everyone.
Right. Exactly right. Well, I appreciate that call, Joel. We have Elwood on the line from Arkansas. Elwood, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, guys. Jeff, you do a great job with this, I want to say. But
thank
I do want to ask, you know, you brought up the national debt and how much it is, he said, lots of people have said it's not sustainable. Well, what does that mean? Tell people what will actually happen day to day. My father-in-law was in Argentina. Argentina got hyperinflation out the kazoo. It was like, I mean, you know, the story was, how much does it cost the cab to get across town? He says $20, but by the time I get you across town, it'll be $40. And that's how it was. It was inflation was so high, people were that you couldn't keep up. They eventually, and I may have this a little bit wrong, but you can look it up, but he was there. He was worked the in and out with the government. He said if they finally just crashed, everything crashed, and they said, if you got any money, burn it. It's worthless. We're starting over. If you owe money to the bank, deal with them somehow. Because they were actually increasing the debt. If you owed $100,000 on your house, next Monday, the inflation rate was 10% for the week. They would raise your debt to $100,000 to $110,000 because the banks couldn't, they were going to go out of business. Well, that didn't last long. It just completely ruined the country. Tell people, somebody, and it will depend on what the government decides to do, how they want to deal with it when it gets so bad. But just saying it's not sustainable doesn't tell people anything.
Yeah, okay, great question, Elwood. So, Rod, hyperinflation leads to just a dissolving of the country and starting over?
Well, if only it were so simple. You're exactly right. All of this comes back to the biblical commandment that we have honest weights and measures. If you can't denominate a debt instrument in dollars that are going to be reasonably constant over time, no one can lend. So if they can't lend, you can't buy houses. So poverty increases. Also, the people who own houses see their housing prices drop dramatically because nobody can afford them. So their wealth is destroyed. All that savings from their whole lifetime goes away. Now, the government doesn't do what was just described. You know, they don't redenominate the debt because they have to pay the debt. So from their point of view, they do something we call monetizing the debt. And that's a scam where you just print a ton of money. And the extra money is used to pay the government's interest payments or actual debt, whatever. Well, that's a scam for a reason. If I take out a loan from you for $100,000, and I pay you back in dollars that on their face say $100,000, but in reality you're only worth $50,000, I just ripped you off to the tune of $50,000.
Right.
That's exactly what governments do in these situations. When the debt becomes unsustainable, they print money that's worth less, but the face value is the same, and they pay their debts with that. And that makes all of the money worth less, which means that you're poorer and poorer and poorer and poorer. Inflation is a tax. People must understand that. Inflation is a tax imposed upon you by the monetary system of a government. That's why it's evil, and it has to be stopped. So the Trump administration is doing a good job of combating inflation, but the most important thing you have to do to combat inflation is reduce the government spending that piles up the debt that forces the Federal Reserve to basically steal.
Mm-hmm. So what would that look like for country X that gets in that situation? Everybody's starving at that point?
You just get poorer and poorer. And that's what happened in Argentina. In 1900, Argentina was richer per capita than the United States. And, you know, today they're a basket case. How did that happen? Well, exactly these policies. Government badly overspent consistently, constantly confiscated property, and you know, did all kinds of things to reduce the people's wealth for the benefit of the state, and over time, you reduced them to just barely above servitude, certainly to abject poverty. That's what happens. It's not as simple as just, oh, the government declared bankruptcy, we'll borrow money from the World Bank. Mm-hmm. No, we give the World Bank all its money. So that's not gonna happen. The right. United States government is the top of the food chain on that kind of thing. And if it starts monetizing the debt, or basically hyperinflating, you're done. There's nowhere to go.
Yeah, great point. Well, we've been talking to Rod Martin. And Rod, tell our listeners how they can connect with you.
Come to rodmartin.org. We do daily geopolitical analysis that Fox Business calls absolutely phenomenal. And also follow me on X, where I have 275,000 new followers. There's a reason. We do good stuff. Come to rodmartin.org.
Well, Rod, thanks so much. And thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. And I'm sorry we didn't get to all the calls, but thanks for calling. And go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And know this, God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.